Do you have an agenda in front of you?
Do I have an agenda in front of me? Yes, I do. Okay. I'm just tired, you guys. It's been a long day. So we're going to have a briefing now for River District right-of-way standards.
Right.
And we have Nick.
Correct. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I've got a presentation. I'm not sure what it would take to get that up on the screen. Here we go. Thanks again for staying to have this presentation. I was there in the back for the last one, and so I was there with you. I'm here today to brief you on the update of the River District right-of-way standards. This is a set of guidelines that apply to the River District area, which includes the Pearl District and the Old Town, and specifically also the post office site. And the reason that we're talking about this here with you is because as the Design Commission, you are sort of the oversight body to design standards and guidelines such as these. As part of the Central City Master Plan process, the proposals and the master plan submittals need to conform to the applicable guidelines and standards of the site. And so in this case, there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg. We've got this great new site with new ideas, and we need to have guidelines that support them. So we're doing an update concurrently of these guidelines to reflect many of the ideas that you've seen as part of the master plan proposal today. We're going to talk briefly about the right-of-way standards, just so you know what they are, what they cover, what's in them, and then talk about the proposed changes to support the USPS site. Specifically, new street standards and guidelines for Northwest Johnson Street and Park Avenue, as well as some guidelines for the Green Loop as it passes through the district. The right-of-way standards, they're described as this. They establish a common understanding of the improvements required in the River District's public rights-of-way. Both private and public street improvements are subject to this document and approval by the city engineer. So this will apply to both developer-built street improvements, such as Kearney, as well as public improvements, such as Northwest Johnson. The documents were authored in 1996, updated in 2004 and 2012, and now being proposed to be updated here this year. Within, there are three main sections in the right-of-way standards. There's a section they call the framework plan. This is an overview of the streets and the street network and their overall functions and widths and dimensions. It talks about street lighting and street trees and largely lays out typical streets and special streets. So a street like Northwest 13th Avenue with its unique historic design is a special street. A normal street like Overton is a pretty traditional Portland River District street. In the USPS site, we're talking about new special streets, so that's a big modification we're making. The guidelines also include what they call performance criteria. This is generalized dimensions and guidance on how we build our streets and street elements. It's not meant to be prescriptive, but just to give us guidance as we build new streets and have to build special, unique things. So we are modifying the performance criteria to describe some of Johnson Street and Park Avenue and the Green Loop. And then finally, there's the design standards themselves. These are more specific, detailed sort of engineering drawings that complement our typical construction drawings in the city of Portland with custom designs. For example, Northwest 10th's Ipe Wood Boardwalk is here in these standards. For this update, we really are trying to limit the scope to council-adopted concepts, ideas, plans, and what's necessary to support the USPS site. We'll be folding in modifications to the street network to reflect what's being proposed in the post office site, which is in what we call the master street plan for the area. We'll be updating the performance criteria, framework plans, and design standards to support Johnson Street and Park Avenue. And we're integrating the Green Loop into the framework plans to reflect the discussions we've been having in the proposal for the master plan. For our special streets of Johnson Street and Park Avenue, we are updating, it's based off of both the master plan, but also much of the guidance in the 2015 framework plan. This sort of set that expectation that these are special streets and we want to carry through the principles described there. We've established two new, what we call special streets, one for Johnson Street, one for Park Avenue. This describes the extents and overall just cross-section layout of what these two new streets look like and kind of where they take on that level surface curbless design and where they have a more traditional standard curbed design. You saw these in the previous presentation, this sort of vision of Johnson Street with a level surface sort of terminus to the park blocks near the Pavilion Building as a wide 80-foot right-of-way street with a cycle track, a 12-foot protected bike lane on the south side of the street. On Park Avenue, we've got a 60-foot right-of-way with a green loop running adjacent to the park as a two-way street with that level surface treatment. There was earlier discussion about how this supports good pedestrian activity, and it's those principles of how you design this to take advantage of that. In this diagram, it's called the parking lane, but that sort of curb zone. At PBOT, we no longer call parking lanes, we call them curb zones, because we want to use that space for more than just parking. We want to be able to use that space for active uses, and that's a very important part of the framework plan for these streets. The design elements in the proposed new performance criteria focus on these elements that were in the framework plan. They wanted a level surface, curbless street design to create a real connection between the park and the buildings. This is probably something very similar to what you see in your Director Park today. They want textured materials to define different portions of the street, so you know where you're supposed to drive, you know where you're supposed to park, you know where you're supposed to walk, and limited amounts of on-street parking in order to provide access to buildings, but also let people use that space for public activation and other uses. They want speed management features, narrow lanes to try to create low speeds. There were concerns about two-way streets and this level surface design. We expect to be able to create very low traffic speeds in this area so that people aren't trying to drive from one end to the other at a high rate of speed. And then finally, bollard-controlled access management to let us control access in and out of the streets to promote public use and closure of the streets for public activities. The update to the guidelines do include some typical schematic design standards for Johnson and Park. These are meant to guide the future design phase of these streets when PBOT takes them on as public works projects. We also have some modifications into this document to incorporate the green loop. It's obviously a very important fixture in the USPS master plan site, and we want to make sure that we're laying down just the basic fundamentals of what it takes to bring a path through this space. The guidelines here are really based off discussions internally at PBOT, also with the project team that was developing the vision of the green loop as it passes through the site. Much of this is built off of the Green Loop vision document that was adopted by City Council, and that's how Council Resolution directed our city bureaus to further develop the alignment, key connections, design character, and engineering of the loop, and to integrate the Green Loop facilities into project planning, design, and construction. So integrating it into the site and integrating it into these documents are following up on that council action. The framework plan integrates the Green Loop in a number of places in our overview maps of the area. You can see it there as this double line that comes off the Broadway Bridge, does its travel through the site, the USPS site, down to Park Avenue. And then we have it here traveling down the length of Park Avenue next to the North Park blocks, all the way down to Burnside and then ultimately beyond. We've included some performance criteria in the Green Loop that defines the basic zones of a facility like the Green Loop that has a relationship to buildings and the space around it. Like kind of a sidewalk, we've got frontage zones when it's next to buildings. In this part of the site, it's not necessarily next to buildings, except maybe as it's traveling through the elevated structure, which is kind of a special, unique situation. We want to have a separate pedestrian zone pretty much at all times, so the pedestrians have a place to walk that's separate from the Green Loop path itself, a separation between those two spaces, and then a furnishing zone when it's next to traffic to buffer the path and the sidewalk from moving traffic. Now, we also reiterate the Green Loop design principles, which are in that vision document adopted by Council, just to remind people of the aspirations we have for this facility. The zones of the Green Loop are defined with a range of dimensions, a preferred dimension that's quite ample to create a really nice space, but also a more realistic, potentially a minimum dimension in case we need to have more constrained widths. You heard a lot, we talk about this 24-foot Green Loop. That's the dimension we use in the more constrained environments, and you can see that today in the Blumenauer Bridge, just now under construction as a part of the Green Loop. That's a 24-foot width for that facility. When you put that all together, we get a little bit of variety, but this is a visualization of what the Green Loop path might look like next to the North Park blocks, for example. Depending on the amount of vehicular access you want to preserve on these blocks, you're going to take over a significant portion of the right-of-way to create this wonderful Green Loop path and have an integrated walkway on the side. The range of dimensions are going to come down to site-specific constraints and needs. And then just to reiterate, the criteria that are described here are meant to guide and not prescribe design solutions. This guidance that's included in this update is going to be flexible, and it provides a starting point for future design processes, such as with parks and the extension of the North Park blocks, whether those are parks processes, private development processes, or PBOT capital projects design. And that's it. I tried to keep it brief so we didn't spend too much time on it, but I welcome feedback, comments, and thoughts. This is a very important piece of implementing the USPS site and making sure that we can conform to all the intersecting regulatory rules that apply to these sites.
Thank you, Nick. Questions for Nick?
I have a technical question.
Yeah.
In this document, the River District right-of-way standards, where it indicates a size, it'll give a size, and then in parentheses, it'll give a minimum.
Yes.
So, and then sometimes it'll say, for example, 6 feet or greater, but then it'll say 1 foot minimum. So is it 6 feet or is it 1 foot?
It's 6 feet. If you want to go lower than that, you're going to have to talk to the city engineer.
Okay. So what's in parentheses is talk to the, okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Chicanes. Is that a speed bump? Did you say that earlier?
I don't know what chicanes. I was going to ask the same.
They've got chicane in there. Chicane is a type of traffic calming tool where you move the travel lane horizontally. And so instead of a speed bump where you move things vertically, you go up and over, you kind of move to the left or the right, and it creates a good slowing effect that is compatible with,
yeah. Got it. Okay, cool. Thanks.
I was going to ask the same question. I wasn't sure what a chicane was. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it.
Can you put that image of Green Street, Green Loop, south of Hoyt, along North Park blocks? Right, this one.
Yeah.
So where is the profile of Park Avenue on this? Is this whole thing in Park Avenue right now, this image that you're showing, or there is part of it in the park?
So Park Avenue and the North Park blocks, if you're familiar with it, there's no sidewalk on the edge of the road. Wow. So the right-of-way extends into what you perceive as the park blocks themselves, and our standards don't show or require a sidewalk there, and it's in part because pedestrians walk through the center of that park as sort of a promenade down the center.
And then there are trees,
massive trees that are there. And so when we look at integrating the Green Loop into the right-of-way, we are being very sensitive to have the path, sort of the Green Loop path, be worked within the roadway that's there today, and that we would expect pedestrians would continue to walk through the promenade within the park. But I think there's opportunities to work with parks on how we integrate the Green Loop as a more permanent project.
So the Green Loop would be constructed within the right-of-way?
Within the roadway space.
Road base. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so what do you need from us?
Well, I wanted to make sure you were aware that we were updating this, that you saw the material that was being updated. And there's a few more things we're adding that are beyond what's going on in the USPS site. But because of the just importance of the site, the importance of this discussion, we wanted to make sure you were kind of roped into this and had an opportunity to review and offer feedback as we prepare to get these adopted. And these will go to City Council for adoption kind of concurrently with this master plan process.
So Hillary, this was again one of the issues on Park Avenue between Hoyt and Johnson. We had that discussion just half an hour ago in terms of the profile of the street, the 12-foot sidewalk, and what I see here is that it is actually curbless, correct?
To the whatever they call it, the curb zone.
On Park.
The curb zone,
yeah.
Right. So there's a flex zone and there's a sidewalk 12 feet. Is there a curb between the flex zone and the 12-foot sidewalk?
No. So one of the issues is that I got this information pretty much after I was done writing the staff report.
Right.
But these two issues, these right-of-way standards and the master plan, have a relationship. And so they have to be compatible. Yes, exactly. Right. And so as I was writing the staff report, I had concerns about an 8-foot pedestrian zone across from the park. So that's why I suggested a 4-foot setback on blocks 1 and 4. But then after receiving these and additional conversations with PBOT, it seems like there's some flexibility built in there. In that flex zone.
That 12-foot. Yeah. Right.
The curb
right.
zone can jet right. out and come back
right.
in, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a less of an issue for me now. As it pertains to the master plan. I do have one question, though, and I raised it in the memo that I forwarded to you. On page 64, there's a note that says that within the Green Loop criteria that the through pedestrian zone, it's 8 feet, 6 feet minimum, but it says on Green Loop segments in the Central City 2035 plan, through pedestrian zone may be excluded on segments fronting a park if a parallel walkway is provided within an adjacent park. So I had concerns that potentially that meant that there wouldn't be a buffer between a healthy buffer between a building and the Green Loop. So can you explain that?
Yeah, that really is about the North Park blocks, and there's no sidewalk there, but there is an aspiration that the Green Loop, it's a shared use path. We want to welcome people to use that path, jogging, running, pushing a stroller, riding a bike, riding scooters, but we also want to provide a dedicated place for pedestrians to whatever degree we can. And so when you're traveling along the North Park blocks, there is no sidewalk. We're not advocating that a sidewalk get built there, but we are expecting that there is a place for pedestrians to travel within that park. And so that exception is really about those unique conditions where there is a separate pedestrian path nearby that is a viable option for them. But on segments that are fronting buildings, mm-hmm. We would expect to have a sidewalk that is separate and sort of integrated well with the Green Loop path as a protected space for people walking.
Okay. So even if there's already a path going down the middle of the park, the path at the building would still be required?
Or in this case, the path adjacent to the park for the Green Loop itself.
I guess I'm just making sure in the case of the master plan that we just looked at that they would still need to provide a path against the building even if there was a path through the park.
Oh, yes, on the other side of the street.
It wouldn't be required.
Our expectation with the North Park blocks extension into the USPS site is that there is a little bit of space within the park that's going to be used for a pedestrian path. So this isn't excluding a sidewalk next to the buildings at all, no.
The way it's written, so it seems confusing.
Actually, Jessica had raised a question that curbless street on Park Avenue, with two-way streets, Park Avenue being two-way, whether that pose pedestrian safety. Can you respond to that? You probably know the psychology of pedestrian better than anybody else, so.
Two-way streets definitely have more complex interactions. There's no doubt about that. And our goal really in those situations is to have low speeds. And so while I think we can think of Director Park and the curbless streets that are next to that as maybe a typical, most of our curbless streets in the city are two ways. There's festival blocks in Old Town that are curbless streets on Flanders and on Davis. Northwest 13th, you're probably familiar with. That is not a traditional curbless street, but it is a curbless street where pedestrians are mixing with cars. All of those are two-way streets. We have many examples of private streets that are curbless that allow access in various combinations. And so we have a lot of working examples in this city of streets like this that seem to be working fine. And the real key goal is to create conditions where drivers are going very slow so that they can stop as needed to respond to what's happening.
Any other questions?
I didn't think of any.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now I can close the hearing.
Wait a minute. There's three more items. Thank you very much, everyone.
The chair, and I'm going home.